Wonderful. Rob, who's doing the words at the back this morning, because we normally project Bible verses up, said to me, "What Bible verses for this morning? What are you preaching?" And I said, "I don't actually know. I mean, I do know. I mean, look, I've got 15 pages of notes, but we're not doing this morning, all 15, I don't think. But I'm not sure we'll stick with everything that I've prepared. But anyway, I just want to pray, more for my sake than anybody else's. But God, I thank you that you know each one of us. You know what we face. You know what's going on in our lives. And yet, even though you are the King of Kings and our God enthroned on high, you're still involved and interested in every detail. And so this morning, we come with humble hearts and we ask God that you would speak to us in whatever way you want, so that we would be transformed. We come with ears that are open to hear and our hearts that are open to receive, so that you would be glorified and that we would live in the fullness of what you've called and created us to live. In Jesus' name, amen. So we finished last week, we finished the series on the book of 1 Timothy, which is Paul's letter to Timothy in Ephesus, and then next week Tim's preaching, which will be really good. So this week I've been preparing loads of different things, but there's some things that I really just think God wants to talk to us about, and not that he doesn't want to talk to us about a heck of a lot of things, he does. But this morning I've been wrestling with where to go, with what to speak about. But I really do believe that when we look at Scripture, we can see that God wants to work with us. You could say God wants to co-labor with us to accomplish everything that he's done and is doing in the world. When we look at the life of Jesus in the Bible, we see that Jesus went around from village to village, town to town, city to city, preaching the gospel, doing what God told him to do. In that process, he drew to himself 12 men, we know as the disciples, that went with him, that he poured his life into, that then also carried on doing what he called them to do. So he would spend time with them as well as preaching and talking to others and healing the sick and doing amazing miracles. It was these 12 that were with him that he poured his life into. He sent them out. They came back. So he co-labored with them to do what God had called them to do. And then just before he was arrested, and then after crucifixion, before he ascended back to heaven, he gave them a commission, which was to carry on doing the work that he had already begun. And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 20, we read it. It says, Jesus said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Then the first two chapters of the book of Acts, let me just explain for those who might not know. So the New Testament starts with four Gospels, which are four different accounts of the life of Jesus while he was on earth. And then the book of Acts is the account of the church, as this church was established. It starts with Jesus ascending to heaven. And the first two chapters of Acts speak about him commissioning the church and how Jesus started that, and we'll look at that this morning. But then the rest of the book of Acts is how the New Testament church started and how the church was formed to continue the work of God. And then the rest of the New Testament is all about letters from and instructions in that. And what we see is the beginning of Acts, Jesus says to his disciples before he ascends to heaven, is wait here in Jerusalem until you receive the promised one, which was the Holy Spirit, from God, and then you will receive power and you can go out and do what God's called you to do. So before that, he gives them this commission that our purpose, and that's the same for us, our purpose is to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them everything that we've learned, teaching them to obey and to live their lives for God. And then you think, well, how are these 12 men going to do this? And actually, it's more than the 12, because he had the 12, and then there were 72, and then 120. But this small group of disciples who he's given this commission to go and continue the work that he has started. The book of Acts says you'd think he'd give them a plan. Because if I'd say to you, go and do X, Y, and Z, you'd say, well, how am I going to do that? And I'll give you a plan of this is how we do it. But what we read in the book of Acts in the very beginning is that the instruction that Jesus gives them to fulfill what he's commissioned them to do was to wait. Was to wait for the promised one, which is the Holy Spirit. So we worship God, who is God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, three in one. And Jesus was on earth and then went ascended to heaven, and the promised one, which is the Holy Spirit, which is the power of God, will come, his presence would come, and empower them to do what he had called them to do. So instead of saying, this is the commission to go and continue the work we've started, and you do it by this, this is the strategy, this is the direction, he says, go and wait. Because you're not going to be able to do anything I've told you to do in your own strength. You're not going to be able to do anything I've told you to do with your clever thinking or your strategies or your master plans. The only way you can do it is if I, God, empower you to do it. And so that's what they do. They wait. They stay in Jerusalem, 120 of them together. That's how much they were. They stay in Jerusalem. They pray. They wait on God. And then we read that on one day at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came on them. And they didn't quite understand what that was in the moment. And then it became obvious. Where the Holy Spirit fell on them in power, they spoke in different tongues, and this crowd of 120, suddenly it drew attention from those around them. They were in a house praying, and this happened. We might read in a bit. Scripture says that there was this violent wind that came through, and tongues of fire were on their heads, and this incredible supernatural thing happened, where God, the Holy Spirit of God, came and filled them and empowered them to do it. And then there's this massive crowd that comes around saying, "What on earth is going on?" Some of them mocked and said, well, these guys are drunk because it doesn't make sense. Others from all different places, because they were all in Jerusalem at the same time, they heard them speaking in their language. And they said, something is going on here that's not normal. This is amazing. We can hear these people, and they were all of the same culture. They're all Galileans. We can hear them speaking about God in our own language, which was different to the ones they were speaking. And then they said, what must we do? And then one disciple, Peter, stands up and gives a preach or a speech to all of them, saying, this is what it is. Don't be amazed. This is what God spoke about in the Old Testament with Joel, and that I would pour out my spirit on all men, and the sons and daughters would prophesy. He speaks about that, speaks about the fact that Jesus, who died on the cross, that he was the Messiah, and their response must be, and they said, well, so what's our response now? He said, repent and be saved and be filled with the Holy Spirit, be baptized and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says, on that day, 3,000 became followers of Christ. How does 120 become 3,120? Not by strategy, not by plans, not by fancy buildings, not by sound systems or hearing loops or lights, by the power of God. Can you imagine it if you kind of, I don't know how many are here today, but say not much, it wasn't much bigger than this. You go home today and we say, come and just pray, let's just wait on God and see what God does. And then tomorrow, they're 3,000. God wants to work with us to fulfill his plans and purposes. And we can only do that when we surrender to him. And my first question to all of us, myself included, is that you might be wanting God to move. You might be wanting God to do it. You might have that read the book of Acts and think, this is incredible, because the same thing is true for today. We should be expecting those things. And we see the whole way through the book of Acts how God moved in people's homes and relationships, and the power of God came and people got saved. And then the 3,000 were added. I think there's another whole load. But they reckon that within a short period of time, a quarter of Jerusalem. But my question is, are you trying to accomplish all these things in God by seeking out good ideas or plans or formulas? When was the last time you just waited? Not a passive kind of, I'll just lay back and wait, but an active waiting, if that makes sense, with an expectation for God to come and say, God, I'm waiting for you. I don't want to do this if you don't go with me. I don't want to, God, we need you. And you see, when we look at Scripture, what we see happening is this. Those people, the 120, if you go smaller, the 12, were normal, everyday nobodies. Pretty much like you and I. You might think, well, you're not a nobody, but in the bigger scheme of things, I don't know anybody famous in the room. So if you are famous, then you're not that famous. But we can think so much of ourselves. But God takes ordinary, unknown people who surrender their lives to him and say, God, you've got something for me to do. I want to be involved with what you're doing. So I'm going to wait for you. Show me what's next. And he does. Empower me to do it, and he does. See, too often we think, well, this is a good plan. This kind of lines up with Scripture. So we're going to go and do this. God, come and help me. Yet we should be saying, God, what are you doing? How can I be involved with what you're doing? Because he's God and you're not. He's God and I'm not. And so we need to get on board with what he's doing. And how do we do that? By saying, God, help me. Show me. I'm waiting on you. That's in the bigger picture of going to make disciples of all nations, of everybody, of different people groups. And that starts right here. We've had quite a busy weekend. On Friday night, we were with a family who are from Ukraine. On Saturday, we were with a family who are from Portugal. And today we're here when there's a whole mix. We've got the nations on our doorstep. And then beyond to everybody. And God's commission to the early church is exactly the same as to us, which is go and make disciples. How do we do that? By saying, God, help me. God, show me. And we live our lives reflecting him. See, the other thing is this, is that when we look at the life of Jesus, we see a lot of what Jesus did wasn't in big buildings or big stages or anything else. They did meet in synagogues and temple courts and things like that, and it's echoed in the New Testament church that there was a lot that was done house to house, in the streets, in the fields. So what's the equivalent for us? Well, you see, if our understanding of being a believer is coming to a Sunday meeting, then we're missing the fullness of what God has. Because Jesus spent time with the Father privately, and he met with people publicly, and in big and small groups, and in large gatherings, and one or twos, he corrected, he worked with the lives of the people that were with him all the time, and he was preaching and teaching, but also doing. You see, if we just see being a believer as being one who comes to church on a Sunday, we're just going to fill our heads with a whole, and maybe our hearts, with a whole lot of information. But we're called to hear and learn in order that we do. You see, when the book of James in the New Testament, he says that The one who hears the word of God and doesn't put it into practice is like a person who looks at himself in a mirror and then as soon as he goes away, he forgets what he looked like. I think some of us wish that would happen, but that's ridiculous. How much more ridiculous if we look at the word of God and don't put it into practice? See, God's word is there that we understand it, we hear it, we read it, and receive it, whether it be taught or ourselves, and we put it into practice so we change. And so we put it into practice and live it out and do. And what did Jesus do? He met those who, from every walk of life, from centurions and governors and everybody else, all the way down to beggars and prostitutes. And he loved all of them. He embraced and impacted every single person's life. Why? Because he spent time with God. He knew who God was, his Father, and he was able to reach into their lives. And that's exactly what he's called us to do. If we look in the very beginning of what we read there is that we'd be God's witnesses through and make disciples of all nations. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says that you will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will receive power and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Starting where they were and kind of just getting more and more and more. And as you go through those, if you study those, you can see exactly the different types of things. But so Jerusalem is where they were. It's their culture. They knew everything about Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It kind of goes to cultures you don't know, to places you don't know. What is he trying to say? Actually, the gospel's for everybody. It starts on the doorstep, and there's nobody that we shouldn't impact. At the same time, God impacts our lives. And God wants to transform us in that process. So it's not like I have to go to God and get everything perfect before I can go and help someone else. That's not how it works. The fact is, when we come to God, we are saved, we are righteous, we are set free, we have a future and a hope with him, and we are washed clean by the blood of Jesus. That's what Scripture tells us. And then we can come to God. See, before we have surrendered our life to him, we can pray, because anybody can call on God. But you don't have that relationship with God. And there isn't a sure future with him. And your salvation is, you still owe a debt that you cannot pay. It's only when we surrender to him that our lives are transformed in God. We have free access to come to him. And as a father who hears his children and responds to them as a son with full rights of a sonship. And all that stuff only happens when you are a believer. And as we do that, then our lives are transformed. But from that moment of encountering him, we can then tell anybody about him. Why? Because our lives get changed. Our lives are transformed not by our kind of positive thinking or mantras or patterns or this or that. Our lives are transformed when we surrender to him. We sang some songs this morning that declared, God, I surrender everything to you. Not my will, but your will. What does that mean? It means now I no longer live for myself, I live for you. And then from that moment, we should be impacting others' lives around us with the message of the gospel, both what we speak and how we live. But if we wait till we think we're perfect, no one's ever going to know anything, because none of us are perfect. We become more and more like him, and it's a journey. We also sang a song this morning. I don't know the exact words, I can't remember them, but it says, I speak Jesus over every addiction, every stronghold, every sickness, there are lots of things. And what that is saying is, I surrender to the authority of him. And speaking the name of Jesus means that we're declaring his lordship and kingship over those things. And that you might think, well, that sounds a bit odd. In practice, if you think about it like this, so we have the king in our country who is just a figurehead, really. He hasn't got all authority. But imagine he did. Imagine if we didn't have a government, we just had the king. Every edict, everything that used to be in the old days, everything that he says would carry his authority. Now, if you just translate that to our lives with the King of Kings, which is Jesus, What we're then saying is actually we're taking his authority because he's given it to us, and we asking him to bring freedom to in the darkness, freedom from strongholds, freedom from things that hold and addictions and pain and all of those things. Speaking the name of Jesus over that means that we're saying, God, you come and bring transformation. So I know this morning's all over the place. It's not quite like a normal preacher we do, but there's this picture of God wanting to partner with us, to work with us, to bring change in the world, bring his kingdom in. And his kingdom isn't a realm. It's his reign. It's the reign of God, his authority, his reign, which then produces a realm and his people. But it's not like the worldly realm, and it's not like, Clash of Clans realm. It's his reign and rule. As we surrender to him, we then become part of his kingdom and we have a commission. But in that process, our lives also need to be transformed. And just as we can't do what God's told us to do without his power and anointing, his Holy Spirit filling us, the same is true that you can't change your life in your own strength, just like I can't. There might be, that if you're sitting here this morning and there's stuff going on, because there's stuff going on in everybody's lives, there might be things of pain, there might be rejection, there might be relational issues, there might be addictions, there might be all sorts of stuff that's going on. You think, if I can just break free. And so often we then try and say, okay, well, if I put this in place, and sometimes those things are helpful. If I do this and do that, then this will happen, and then I will be free. And we put it into place, and after a while, and then we think, we catch that we're back in the same place again. You see, just the same as when Jesus said to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, but wait, because you need my power. You need my working through you. You need the Holy Spirit to come. That's why God the Father promised his Holy Spirit, so that we would be able to do what he's told us to do. In the same way, your life, when we read in Scripture, we say, well, actually, this is how we're to live, and God starts to convict us of what we need to do, what we need to change, and everything else. We can't do that in our own strength. We need that same power of God to come and transform us. And how does it transform us? By our surrender. By saying, actually, God, there's nothing that you don't see. There's nothing you don't want to bring healing to. There's nothing that you don't want to bring freedom from. God, this area, I surrender it to you and I'll wait for you. He might say in that process, don't do this, don't do that, which is fine, but we're not waiting on those things to bring the solution. We're waiting on him. In the same way that he's got a commission and a purpose for us, that we need his power and his anointing to do, the same way how he wants to transform your life so that you live in the fullness of who he's created you to be. Not bound by anything, not held by whether it be sickness or past relationships that just are like a, you know, you probably have seen these before, but you know when farmers in different countries and small places where they have like one animal, like a goat or a cow or whatever, and they don't want it to wander off. They stick a stake in the ground and a rope and so the thing can wander there as far as it likes, but as soon as it gets to the end of the rope, it's taut and it can't go any further. You see, if we try and solve our issues in our own strength, we're a little bit like that. While we're wandering around in safe ground, it feels like we're free. It feels like we're doing this, and then we just go, and then we realize it's not. The problem is because we're still connected and tethered to the spike with a rope. God and his Holy Spirit, when he comes and works in our lives, when we realize, God, it's not my strength, it's you. God, I surrender to you, come and help. He doesn't just unpeg the stick. He breaks its hold on us. And then we walk in freedom. And too often we on this journey where we try and we try and then we hit the end of the rope and we bounce back and we try and we try and we think, and then so we just try in a different direction. And if you think of one of those things, you just got the circumference or whatever it is, the circle that you're going to fill with wandering in and out and in and out with no freedom. But God wants to bring freedom. And the only way we get freedom is not our own plans. Our own plans are just going to the end of the rope. Our freedom comes when we surrender to Him and say, God, I need you to come and move. And so that this morning, I don't know where we're going to go and how we're going to do this, but I think that I really believe there's some people here this morning that it feels like that's what your life looks like. It might be that there's been a past relationship of whatever form that you think you've got freedom from, and then suddenly you feel that you haven't. And then you try something else and you find you can just come to the end of the rope in this direction, you come back. This morning, God wants to remove all of that so you can be who He's created you to be, not held back by those things. But it requires putting our faith in Him and surrender. There might be other things that could be addictions to all sorts of stuff. That you think, it feels like I get there, and then before I know it, I'm doing the same thing again. God wants to bring freedom. It could be a pattern of finances, that you kind of get to the point, and then it's all gone. I'm not talking about every monthly budget that seems to go every week anyway. What I'm saying is a pattern of, you know what I'm saying? Everything that holds, everything that restricts, everything that pulls down is not from God. And the only way we can have freedom is by surrendering to Him and trusting Him. We can try in our own strength. You're not gonna get there. You can put every plan in place. You're not gonna get there. It comes by saying, God, I believe in you. And we surrender our lives to Him and say, God, I put my faith in you. I might not understand everything. I believe you are who you say you are. And I put my faith in you. Come and I surrender my life. Come and be my Lord. That moment we become children of God and the hold of those things no longer has legitimacy on us. And then we ask by His Spirit to come and bring freedom. And He does. You think, well, how does that work? To be perfectly honest? No. Because it's a thing of the Spirit. It's something that God does. It's not something that I do or you do. It's something that God does. Same as when we read that account in the book of Acts, you think, how does the Holy Spirit come on them? That sounds weird. It happened. And God's desire is that we all filled with the Holy Spirit, even today. How does it happen? I know when it happens, because you can sense it, you can feel it, you can experience it, but I can't explain it, because it's God moving, not me. How is it that in the midst of all the nonsense that's going on around the world, we can just live with a hope and a peace? Because my future is not in the hands of governments and whatevers. It's in the hands of God. So I know that whatever happens, and some of it might be hard, some of it we might face and go through stuff that's going to be painful, but you know what? God's always with me. I was once in the army, and I remember I'm only on page one on this. I was once in the army, and when you think you've done what you can do and you can't do anymore, or people do stuff and you face situations because we're in conflict and things like that, and you think, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. The one scripture that I always remember is this: if God is for me, what can man do to me? If God is for you, what can man do to you? Nothing. Why? Because you're safe and secure. The God of all creation, the one we read about in the Bible, The one whose Son came to earth to die on the cross so that we could have a relationship with him is the same one that's interested in your life today. It's the same one. He's the same one. He's the only true God. He's the same one who wants you to live in freedom and wholeness and healing and in absolute joy and peace with the future. And it's an adventure and it's a journey and it's some things happen instantly, some things happen over time, but you know what? God is always with you. And so we need to wait. Say, God, it's not about me. It's not about my strength or my ability or my plan. It's about you. And so this morning, I'm going to stop talking. But I really do feel God wants to move. And some might have never experienced anything like this before, and that's okay. But what I would say is this. God knows who you are. God sees you. God hears you. God knows what you're facing. He knows what you battle with. He knows what you have victory over. He knows what tomorrow holds. He also knows what yesterday was all about. The only way we can live at peace with a hope and a future is to surrender to him. Now, you might be here this morning and you might be a believer that loves God, but there's still some things that you think, I keep hitting the end of the rope. Today, God wants to remove that. You might be sitting here this morning and think, well, I don't even know God. I've heard of him. I'm curious. I think I believe. He says that if you search for me with all your heart, you'll find me. If you call on me, I will answer. And so if that's you this morning and you're facing all these things, God wants to bring you close as a child of his. He wants to forgive and for you to accept him as your Lord and Savior so that there will be a transformation and you can truly live as who he's created you to live. If that's you this morning, right where you are, when I pray, you just say, it might be the first time you've ever prayed, say, God, I believe you are who you say you are. Come and help me. I give you my life. And he will. Why? Because God wants all of us to live in a relationship with him where we are whole, with a hope and a future and moving forward in him. Because he's got stuff for us to do. He's got people for us to tell so that they too can be in eternity with him. Every week I get, pretty much every week I get WhatsApp messages or whatever saying, we prayed and this is what God did. In a situation that was impossible, people tell me, why? Because God's interested. He sent his son so that we would live in relationship with him. So I really am going to keep quiet. Let's pray. And you respond where you are to God. If at the end of it, you would like myself or someone else to pray with you, just come find me. I can point you in the direction of someone else to pray with you, or find someone that you know and ask them to pray for you. But it's God that does the work. In a way we can't explain. Father God, I thank you. God, I thank you that you are God and we are not. Thank you that our lives can be found in your hands. Thank you that you know each one of us, every detail, every bit of our past, every bit of our present, and you even know our future. And your desire is that we live in the fullness of life that you've created us to live. And where the enemy through the world has come to rob and destroy, you come and give us life in abundance. this morning. God, we come before you. We as your children lay our lives down before you again and say, God, it's not about me but you. Not my will but yours. We speak your name, your rule and your reign over everything that binds, everything that holds, every darkness, addiction, fear, relationship, situation, whatever the situations. God, this morning we ask that you would come by the power of your Spirit and bring healing and wholeness and restoration and freedom in Jesus' name. God, we trust you. We trust you. And we thank you that we don't have to do this alone. We have your Holy Spirit with us, but we also have each other to walk alongside. Lord, today we pray for freedom. We pray for freedom from addictions, freedom from fear, freedom from sickness, freedom from doubt. All those things, that you would bring peace, you would bring order, you would bring health, you would bring hope and a future. We pray for those this morning who's sitting here with relationships from the past that constantly bring pain. Lord, today bring healing from that pain. Bring wholeness from that situation. And bring a right outcome. And Father, I pray for those who may be here this morning who have never surrendered their lives to you. And as they do, Lord, as they just say, God, I believe in you. I don't quite understand it all, but I believe in you, and I ask that you would come and lead my life. Lord, as they say that today in their hearts, that you would come and bring transformation. That there'd be something in the Spirit that would happen that would be a rebirthing of who they are, made alive by you as your children. Come and move, O God. That we would live, really live as you've called and created us to be. Thank you that you love us, for your grace that is extended to us, and that we don't deserve any of this, but you lavish us with that. And Lord, I pray that this week as we wait on you, that we would know the filling of your Holy Spirit, empowering us to do and be who you've called us to be and what we've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful, I hope that was helpful. If you would like prayer for anything, please find someone who can pray with you. Lisa and I'd be more than happy to chat and pray, but if you'd rather find someone else, get someone to pray with you. There is tea and coffee next door. If your children are through in the children's program, you need to go through and get them. It's part of our child protection policies. You need to go and get them from there, so it relieves the team that are there. And you can send the kids back into the hall afterwards, but you do need to get them from those teachers. Otherwise, have a wonderful week. Do join us for tea and coffee, and if you need anything, just let us know.